There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday and conversation with Representative Chris Pringle about redistricting in Alabama. One last thing here. There's so many texts that came in while we were talking. But Alan says, curious, when the Constitution was written, do you think persons, so the term I kept you, persons, included British, French, Spanish citizens? What about women? What about Indians? What about the slaves? Thanks. That's... Alan checking in. I mean, I told you during the break, I'd go through an internal dialogue because the last thing I want to do is be a hypocrite. And I am a strict constitutionalist. So I look at and I challenge myself because it says persons. It doesn't say citizens. But in deconstructing it, what value would there be to represent somebody who's not a citizen?
That's the question. The Supreme Court needs to address this issue.
Yes.
Because I don't think the Founding Fathers, again, ever anticipated government agencies and entities encouraging people to illegally enter our country and get our benefits and be counted for the purposes of representation in the United States Congress.
You said to count everyone once, only once, and in the right place.
Yes.
That is the purpose.
And basically, let me kind of go back. That 64.7% at the end.
By the way, that still left me slack-jawed when I was told it was 90-something.
What the government did is they went back after that and they started assuming how many people lived in each house based on other information or drive-bys or whatever. That's how they got it up to 99.
So we did all that stuff. The state spent the money.
Yeah.
I was on here for a year and a half squawking about, y'all, fill out your damn census, how important this is. We get this up to the 99%, and then the federal government goes in there.
Now, we got to 64.7. Then the federal government just had their people go in and start going, well, last time we had X number of people in this residence, so we'll just put that number back in again. All right,
So that's what happened. In reality, we only did 64, but they put a magnifier in there or something?
Yeah, they went in. Yeah.
So they can take it away?
Yeah, they can manipulate the numbers any way they want to now.
Okay.
Now, we couldn't statistically sample, but we can make up numbers and put it in.
You're scaring me.
I know. It's scary.
You're scary. So let's get down to where the rubber meets the road on this and this job you're tasked with. So the census, the numbers, you still hadn't had your advance on it, not till April, but comes out. We all have a feeling in the state that we're going to come in below where we need to be to keep our seven districts, right?
I would be surprised if we kept seven. How's that?
Okay. So right now, for y'all that don't follow, so Alabama has seven congressional districts, AL1 down here, and six others. So what happens? Let's take us through this. Federal government sends a letter to Montgomery, say, hey, y'all.
At sometime at the end of April, they should inform us whether we're going to have six or seven. That I'll know, but they won't send me the numbers until the end of August.
Wait a second. They'll tell us we're losing a district before they send you the numbers?
Yes. They'll release that. Yes, they'll tell us, but they normally release some preliminary numbers that we can work off of and start kind of looking at the maps. We have over 252,000 census blocks in the state of Alabama, and I won't get that block information until the end of
August.
Yeah, the end of August.
Even though you'll be told,
I'm gonna have six or seven congressional seats. Yes.
Okay. Your frustration. Yeah. You're a way calmer man than I am.
Well, I've dealt with this. Let me.
Walk us through how this.
About redistricting.
Yeah. What is redistricting?
Redistricting is the act of actually redrawing lines, taking those 252,000 plus census blocks and accumulating them, putting those pieces of the puzzle together, and say this is this district and this is this district.
They have to kind of have an equal number of citizens and, people.
I'll talk about that. In 1946, the United States Supreme Court ruled that that redistricting was a political thicket in which the court should not enter, and declared redistricting non-justicable. Okay,
what's that mean?
They wouldn't rule on it. It was not something for the justices to handle. It's non-justicable.
I'm going to use that word this weekend.
Beautiful Alabama, 1964, Reynolds v. Sims, and our friend Albert Peters in Huntsville. They went to the Supreme Court and said, "Look, the Constitution of 1901 locked down our legislative districts." And you'll see the map over there. Mm-hmm. That's the map of the legislative districts that were locked down.
Okay.
And what they argued, and I'll give you an example, there were three legislators from Mobile County. Each legislator, even though they were elected at large, would represent approximately 104,767 constituents.
Okay.
Bullock County had two legislators, and each one of them only had about 6,371 constituents. And that's where this whole premise of one man, one vote, proportional representation comes into play. This is when I sit on the floor of the Alabama House of Representatives and I push that button, the person sitting next to me from Birmingham, the person from Huntsville, we all represent roughly the same
number of
people.
Yeah.
One man, one vote. It all started with Reynolds v. Sims here in the state of Alabama.
I did not know that.
We played a major role in
this is always the danger of assuming things have always been the same way. Because, you know, growing up, I knew that, got the same, generally the same number of people with each representative.
Yeah. And the interesting,
it wasn't always that way.
Yeah. And, of course, they ruled that under the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution, using total population versus registered voters. That was the original question, whether you use registered voters or total population for redistricting. Because you can argue, you know, do voters or mm-hmm. people.
Right.
And they said you have to base it on population. And we spent a lot of time trying to work our way through without peeling this onion back when we get into some of these civil rights issues,
mm-hmm.
black voting age population versus black population. There's a whole bunch of nuances that go into how we draw these districts that I'm not going to bore you or your people with. I'm trying to stay. But, you know, that the 14th Amendment and then the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Once you pass the Voting Rights Act and you had the 64 Sims, that's where you start seeing these flurries of Supreme Court rulings coming in. Because the Voting Rights Act...
Like, that's where we developed the majority-minority district and all that.
Yeah.
Right?
That Section 2 is you cannot... it prohibits any state from imposing any voting qualification, standard, or practice procedure that results in the denial of any U.S. citizen's right to vote.
Yeah, like poll taxes and poll questions and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, exactly. I think that was a good move.
That's a Section 2 violation. It was great. It was needed at the time. But they also put in Section 5. And you remember in the Shelby case a couple of years ago, they did away with Section 5.
Right.
And Section 5 is where we had to go get pre-clearance. If we wanted to move a voting precinct,
you had to ask the federal government first.
We had to get permission. Yeah. Anything we did.
Alabama, Arkansas.
It was like some counties, but not the state.
Okay.
Alabama. But after 50 years, the formula had never changed, and the court ruled that, you know, 50 years later, you never addressed it. So we're going to do away with it. And you hear people claim, well, they did away with the Voting Rights Act. No, they didn't. Section 2 is still fully enforced and it's enforceable. But instead
it was
of getting,
5.
Yeah, they did Section away 5. With the pre-clearance part. But if we violate Section 2, the court will throw our plans out and we'll have to go back.
And you go right back to having 5 in the mix. I mean, we would write, if they say it, they could, if we violate something, we could go back to pre-clearance, couldn't we?
The Congress would have to pass it, yeah. But then you have a fight. Why only certain places when they have as many problems in the other parts of the state as we used to?
Right.
If you want to do Section 5, do Section 5, but do it over the entire country.
The country,
don't cherry pick, you know. But the Voting Rights Act was passed. For legislative redistricting, the most important part is again, the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, that we have proportional representation in each district. Now, we have a deviation in the state legislature. We can go... They've said 5% over, 5% under, but that doesn't necessarily mean de minimis, you know.
Right.
It's you can do that, but the tighter you get it, the better off you are. And
right.
We have some variation where it's going to be 1% over.
Because it'd probably be impossible to perfectly, and you know, and you have to set it on that day, and then a bunch of people move the next day, and it's already, you know.
Well, I mean, it's all based on that April 1st cutoff of the census day. That's the number we work off of for 10 years. Because, I mean, by the time we do it, all the numbers are wrong anyway, but you have to have...
Right, you have to have set a deadline on that date. And what I'm saying is I have not bothered by some percentage, you know, de minimis percentage, because there's no way to absolutely divide every person in Alabama by seven, right? You know, every citizen, and get a perfect number.
No. In U.S. Congress, zero deviation. I mean, you might have one or two people different. And
That's
it.
Wow.
Zero deviation. And we, like, there's only one county broken in the first congressional district. All the other counties are whole counties. Clark County is divided.
Mm-hmm.
And you try and split as few counties as absolute possible.
So you got to get the people generally equal. You got to try not to split a county.
Well, we can get into a let me back off a little bit. And you're going to hear a few terms that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Cracking and packing.
Cracking and packing.
Okay. All right. Cracking is where you go into a minority community and you break it up and split that politically cohesive community into different districts so that they are not able to elect or defeat a candidate.
So they're watered down into the other districts.
And I'll tell you, I mean, the best example I can give you is when I was a small child, and I've been told this because I was way too young. It was in the 70s. They split Pritchard three ways. And so that no African-American could win a legislative seat.
They put a third in districts that had majority white.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And that's called cracking.
Cracking.
You split them up. Even though they had enough people to have their own legislative representation, they split them up. All right. That's cracking.
Okay.
Packing is when you take minorities and pack them into a district or a group of people and pack them so tightly that they lose influence over other districts.
Right.
See, I complained about packing when I was in the minority in the Alabama House. And I was watching the Democrats do redistricting, and they would give Republicans these super majority districts because they were, those days they would do 5% over, 5% under.
Right.
So they would make the Republican districts 4.99% overpopulated, even though Baldwin County has a sustained growth rate of 20%.
Sure.
They were automatically overpopulated, and the minority districts were automatically 4.99% underpopulated.
Right, and you could take, you could, if you looked at it, you could say, okay, we're having, we got these three areas or four areas here that are purple. That is kind of this, but there's a risk that the Republicans back then might win. But if we just gave up one district, and made it all Republicans, then those other three or four would be solid Democrat.
Yeah, okay, they pack Republicans, or they pack minority, you know, African.
So cracking and packing.
those are two terms you'll hear talk about, cracking and packing. And then you got to talk about the Jingles test. You can't discuss
the Jingles
test.
Okay.
Because the courts have ruled that political gerrymandering in and of itself is not unconstitutional.
Okay.
Racial gerrymandering is.
Okay.
But political gerrymandering.
So by party, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah.
The problem is in this state, I'll say the thing that I wish it wasn't this way, but often that means the same thing in Alabama.
Well,
you know
it's because the Thornburg versus Jingles, the Jingles test, you're going to hear the three-pronged test of the Jingles case.
Okay.
A racial minority group is sufficiently numerous and compact for a majority in a single-member district. The majority group is politically cohesive, meaning its members tend to vote similarly.
Okay.
And the majority votes sufficiently as a block to enable it, usually to defeat the minority's preferred candidate.
Okay.
In other words, if you know the minorities can't win, because then you've got a problem. And Jingles is, you'll really see it on some of these, they look like salamander districts.
Oh, yeah.
Where they've gone and they've just contorted.
Yes, absolutely.
And they really, you have to draw them that, so they're single member districts that they... the majority meets the first prong, can you argue whether you have a crossover district that could go either R or D or whatever the different districts are? But you have to account for the percentage of minorities in them and the compactness and how compact those districts are and communities of interest within those districts. Because, like, say, the city of Birmingham actually goes into Shelby County.
Mm-hmm.
You cross the county line to make Birmingham, you know, keep the city of Birmingham intact, And some cities break into other counties also. So you've got to balance that act of where you draw your district lines.
All right. We come back from the break. I want to talk more about this. And then what it, you know, what might happen so we go from 7 to 6 districts. We end up there. Then is there a runoff for two elected, or how does that work as well? We continue this discussion of redistricting in Alabama with Representative Chris Pringle right here on Midday Mobile. Be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. 124 FM Talk 106.5. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey, doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin County. He's been doing it like 13 years now. You got junk, you want it gone? That's what they do. I mean, you can talk about the complexities. They can show up at a storage unit, your business, a shop you've got. It could be like that big trampoline out in the backyard or stuff up in the attic. It could be anything that you're looking at getting rid of. Well, Trey can handle it. And here's how it works. They realize you got a life, they got a job, you got family, those kind of things. So instead of giving you one of these things where they say, okay, we'll be there sometime between 8 in the morning on Monday and 5 in the afternoon on Friday. Nah, they're going to find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you. Set an appointment. They show up, they look at the job, they quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work right then and there and get the junk gone. So you got a junk, you want to get it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Go online to make that appointment or pick up the phone. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or just call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, continuing our conversation with Representative Chris Pringle, redistricting in the state of Alabama. This is complex here. There's a lot to this. You're only scratching the surface with us.
I have a complete staff, consultants, and attorneys.
Wow. So walk us through where we are now on this. So
I want to talk about kind of traditional redistricting principles.
Okay.
Compactness is making the district as compact as possible. That you know, it's as small as practicable.
Right.
Now, some people go, why is it so big? And I say, because it's based on population. And if you have
if you have lightly populated counties, you're going to have to eat. Yeah, several of those
exactly,
up. As
exactly.
You, okay.
Just to get continuity. The districts must be contiguous, and they have to touch. You
right.
can't just skip out of a district. They have to touch at some point. Now, the road going from one district to that might cut through another district, but that district has to touch. And across water is considered contiguous. So
okay.
you can look across the river or you can look
across the bay.
The bay is considered contiguous.
Okay.
And preservation of counties and the political subdivisions. You want to not break counties and cities up as any more
if possible.
Impossible.
Right. Okay.
As much as you can. But
these are guiding rules.
These are kind of overriding rules. But, you know, political subdivisions, in my humble opinion, are not protected under the Constitution of the United States.
Okay.
Our citizens are protected under the Constitution.
Right.
The
not those
one
district.
Man. Yeah. One man, one vote.
Okay.
So you can't say, all right, well, we're gonna keep this county and we only have one senator in it, and that senator has 1.5 times the number of people he should.
Right. Can't do, yeah.
Yeah. Does
okay.
that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
So if it happens, we go from 7 to 6.
Yeah.
You're tasked with absorbing, redistributing citizens, taking these go into this other district,
yeah.
these go into this other district, because now you don't have 7, you have 6, and those 6 have to generally, with give or take 5%, they have to match.
Congressional has to be 0.
Right. But
legislative can be plus or minus.
Okay, so it can be 0.
Congressional is 0.
Okay, so you have to, within one person,
yeah.
match.
Yeah.
So you've got to take, here's we've lost a district, now we're going to have 6. Now, the 6 all have to be X percentage bigger in
yeah.
people.
Yes, you have to add about 124,000 people to each congressional district, yes.
And that's easy.
Yeah, I'll give you some numbers here. Now, there are the 252,000 plus census blocks. These are like, just picture a jigsaw puzzle.
Okay.
We have to assemble them, all right? All right, Mobile County. I'm just going to do the first, okay? Washington County lost 1,254 people based
okay.
on the estimates we have. This is not the official census numbers. These are just
estimates.
The
okay.
estimates they sent us last. Mobile is flat even. That gained 71. Baldwin County gained 40,969
wow.
people. Escambia County lost 1,687, and Monroe County lost 2,334 people. So if I have to add 124,000 people to the 1st Congressional District, I mean, I can go to Conecuh, but they've lost people. Butler's lost. Covington's lost. Crenshaw's lost. Coffee, Geneva, Houston gained. I'm sorry, Coffee went up 2,000 and Pike went up. But you're over in the hometown of Senator Barry Moore there. But all the other counties, Wilcox, Lowndes, Dallas lost over 6,000 people out of Dallas County.
Wow.
That's Terry Sewell's district.
Yeah.
She's going to have to gain 124,000 people. Where are you going to get... Exactly.
All right, so we're going to come right back. A quick news break and coming right back. More of this discussion. Obviously, this is like a master's class being taught here on the redistricting in Alabama. Our guest, Representative Chris Pringle, and we'll return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. I want you to say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And, you know, Angelo, I were just out there with you, a week ago. And people were in buying a lot of gift items, and we're always talking about whether it's precious metals or open-L knives or, you know, jewelry. But y'all also do the buy-in. I mean, we buy, but y'all also buy from us.
We certainly do. We've had a lot of people calling and asking, hey, with gold and silver prices high like they are right now, are you guys still willing to buy stuff? And the answer is, of course we are. So if you've got some sterling silver flatware or serving pieces, maybe you've got some jewelry laying around that you don't need anymore, you haven't worn in forever, you know, that old class ring that's hiding somewhere. It's all worth money. All those gold and silver items are money sitting right there. So if you bring those by the shop, we're right here in Midtown. It only takes a few minutes for us to go through some of those things and let you know what those items are worth at the current market prices. Who knows? At least you know what it's worth. You may walk out of here with some cash or a nice check in your pocket.
All right. That sounds perfect. And people taking advantage of those high prices, how do they find you?
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can always call us, 725-1590, or go online, mobilebaycoins.com, and check us out there.
All right, thanks a bunch.
Have a good weekend, John.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, continuing our discussion with State Rep. Chris Pringle, who's been... How did you draw the short straw to Pete? I mean, I'm happy you are doing it. I know you. You are intelligent. You work on this all the time. But how do you draw this straw?
You want to hear the whole backstory?
Maybe that'd be...
You remember when I served in the legislature for 8 years?
Right.
And I was gone for...
And then he came back, yes.
Well, I had worked for Sonny Callahan on Capitol Hill. And Sonny wanted me to be on reapportionment in the 2002 redistricting.
Okay.
He wanted somebody to protect his congressional district.
Right.
Because the Democrats had a bill to come through Baldwin County, take it, and use the ship channel coming up, the boat channel up Dog River, to take his lot on Dog River and put it in the 1st Congressional District, then went Baldwin County all the way to Dothan. His house was going to be the only piece of property in Mobile County.
Then he was enough a thorn in the side to the Democrats that they had a plan to gerrymander out his lot.
His house.
Where he lived, and then put it across with everything across the bay into the east and north.
Yeah, they're going to run to Scambia, Covington, Geneva, Coffee.
That's politics, y'all. That is politics.
So anyway, I served on the committee for the first time in 2002. And I was actually the official designee of the state of Alabama as the minority party representative for the state.
Okay.
In those days, we didn't have email. So the Census Department, everything they sent me, this is I always laugh because they would send it to my office, mm-hmm. Southern Timberlands. They would just send boxes and boxes of information, and they never used the Postal Service. They always used UPS or FedEx to send official government documents.
Oh my God.
So that's where I cut my teeth on redistricting and realized how important it was and how complicated it was. So when I went back to Montgomery after my hiatus, they put me on redistricting, and they needed a chairman. So
you got it.
I'm there.
Well, I tell you what, this is an in-depth dive, and I know we're going to talk about this a bunch going forward. But in this last 10 minutes or so here, let's talk about this. You talk about 124,000. Basically, if we're working off the premise that we do go to six from seven. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have to split up that whatever district gets removed.
Yeah.
And then apportion out the 124,000 to this. Yeah. Okay. So what district gets removed?
That's a good question. What happens? I mean, I'm hearing that Mo Brooks is going to run.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give up his seat. Congressman Gary Palmer signed an oath. He gave his word that he would only serve 10 years.
That's two. District. Palmer's two, right? Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, so Brooks is five.
Palmer's
three.
Barry Moore's two.
It's three.
Yeah, three.
Three. I'm sorry. So three and five, at least there's an opportunity that person may not be running again.
Palmer's district, I mean, he signed an absolute oath and beat his opponent, swearing he would only serve 10 years.
Okay.
So what does he do? Does he go ahead and run for the U.S. Senate, or does he stay his last 2 years in Congress and then retire?
So the additional part of this and the wisdom that there may be people running for the Senate race that may be part of the bigger congressional, the House redistricting.
Yeah.
This is fascinating. Yeah. Okay. So one of those, there's going to be a district that goes away. The people from that district will be then 124,000, they're going to have a new, all their lives they've been in district whatever. Now they're going to be in district, a new.
Not all their lives. For a long time, yes.
Yes, for the last 20 years, 18 years?
A lot longer than that. Jack Edwards won it in 64. I think the last time we lost a district was back in the 60s or 50s.
Okay, so for a lot of people, and I'm 48, that's my whole life.
Yeah, okay.
That's what, but there's a lot of people, 48 years old, that's my whole life.
Yeah.
So there's people like me that will, for the first time, be in a new district.
But that's kind of, that's the beauty of the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers were absolutely brilliant when they wrote the Constitution, and they set in motion a system to adjust for the population shifts.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you and I agree it was a population of our citizenship changing and moving, not people
just raw
coming in. Yes. So anyway, and that's the reason why we do the census. That's one of the main reasons, and then that's the reason why we reapportion to adjust for these migration patterns in the United States.
So some of my takeaways here, and there's so much deeper dive, and like I said, we're going to talk about this, I'm sure, going forward a whole bunch. But the deal is and kind of have a feeling, I'll say it for me, I have a feeling it's coming, that we're going to lose a district, right? I pray that we don't, but
it would make my job a whole lot easier.
Yes, but but if we do, you have to be ready for that, and that has to be done by when?
If we get the numbers the end of August,
okay,
it will take 5 days to download the numbers into a computer. That's 5 working days.
To download?
Oh, yeah, it's to get everything downloaded and overlaid.
Holy mackerel.
And all the information we
need. You
think
a Windows update is bad?
Yeah, the 252,000 different census districts and the population, each one of those census blocks, it's a...
But they will tell us, you said, in April, if we're losing the district.
Yeah.
Okay, but then you don't have the raw information you need until August.
Yeah.
And then when do you have to have the new district?
That's the drop-dead date for the Secretary of State's office is November 1st. If we stay,
y'all should see the look on my face. So from August to November 1st, that has to be all that stuff you just talked about.
In order to have it done in time for the Secretary of State, which we don't see a way to be able to get the numbers, draw the districts, have a session, have it signed.
Yeah, it'd have to be a special because y'all won't be in.
Yeah, we're going to have a special session, but I've already got the bill being drafted to change the primary date from May to July. Just to give us the time. There's too much work. Think about this. If we redraw every district, mm-hmm. what I have to go through to redraw the district.
124,000.
Yeah. Well, just by the time you do congressional, state house, state senate, and state school board.
Oh, it's going to change all those. Yeah.
All that has to be changed. All the voters' files have to be updated so you know which district you're
mm-hmm.
in.
I got to get the little card that says.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are don't hold me to this number, but it's like 4,800 separate ballots in the state of Alabama on a general election day because of the split precincts and the different people. Yeah, the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes to put on an election is most people don't understand the magnitude of the work because you have the registrars, you have probate court, you have all these different people involved in this process that it's just we have to give them time in order to
sure,
make all the adjustments.
So those are so many hurdles to cross. Another one, kind of the back to the 30,000-foot view, the big takeaways for people: we lose, if we lose a congressional district, we lose voice in Washington.
Yes.
Number one. Lose voice in Washington. Lose voice in the Electoral College.
Yes.
Right? We lose money.
Big time. Because a lot of our federal funding is based on that population. A lot of your different federal funds that we rely on so heavily in this state are based on that population. And I'll go ahead and throw this in the mix. Shelby leaves. You want to know what happens to
it? It's the worst time for this
state. You want to know what happens to a rural state when a powerful senator leaves? Go ask West Virginia what happened to them when Senator Byrd
left. Yeah.
Everything's on the chopping block. I mean, you close your eyes and think of all the federal programs that are in the state of Alabama that he's brought. I'm sitting here looking at this map where Madison and Limestone County have grown so much.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that's Redstone Arsenal.
Yeah.
That's the FBI headquarters Shelby got.
Yeah.
That Space Force.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so much of what he's done has generated the massive growth up there. And some of that could be on the chopping block. I mean, thank God that's the reason why we all supported the Rebuild Alabama Act. Because mm-hmm. while Shelby looked me dead in the eye and said, you better support this, because this deal of you only paying 25% match goes away when I leave, and I'm leaving in 2022. So we had to, I mean, to get our ship channel deep into
mm-hmm. mind.
I mean, it's going to be a sea channel.
It would be, even if we kept seven congressional districts, I've been saying this for years and lamenting when Jeff Sessions left to go be attorney general. I said, this is dangerous. And then because Shelby's going to announce, even if we had seven congressional districts, this is bad news. But now Shelby leaves and we have six.
It's going to be painful for this state. Yes.
It's funny. So much of this comes down, we'll talk about anything, as partisan politics, as Republicans versus Democrats. But I argued during the census, I just testified during the census, that this is important to every Alabamian. I don't care about your party. I don't care about the letter behind the representative's name or the citizen, how they vote. Or, you know, this is all of us as Alabamians. And this is the bad news that we've been talking about a while, that it's coming.
It is. Because we get like 2.5 times more from the federal government than we put into it.
I've told people don't like to hear that, but I've told them forever because that's the truth. We are a net beneficiary for the federal government.
If you look at our general fund budget every year, that budget is designed to draw down as much federal money as we can possibly draw down based on our population. And when that population
that is part of the decision making on Goat Hill is federal funding.
Yes. We use our state funding to maximize our federal drawdown money. Yes.
This is tough, and I know going forward, I mean, we'll wait for April 1st to find out, but it seems like that's going to happen, and then there's, I get a whole bunch of people asking questions. You don't know now what the districts are going to look like. This is...
No clue.
Yeah.
We can't even sit down at the computer and play with it, because we don't have...
Not till August, and then you have to have it done by November 1st.
Well, we're going to have to have a special session. We're going to have to move the primary. We moved the primary back to May. We're going to have to bump it back probably the end of June.
Yeah, remember, we moved the primary to May so we'd be people talk about us and come see us and do all that here in Alabama, but that may not be doable.
No, it's the calendars. There's too much work to go on behind the scenes to adjust and make all the shifts that will occur to have an election then.
All right.
We're afraid. I mean, that's what the Secretary of State's office told us.
When this makes big news in August, y'all realize that back here in February, you heard it here first.
Don't expect to see me in September. I'll be living in Montgomery. What I haven't told you is I've already got a federal judge holding over my congressional redrawing. So I know I'm going to be in federal court in front of a single federal judge. I know I'll be sued in state court, so I'll have to be in state court in Montgomery under the Alabama Constitution. And I know I'll be sued under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, so I'll be in front of a 3-judge federal panel in Montgomery.
Some mules can pull harder than others. Thank God you're one of them. Representative Chris Pringle, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Hey, Mom.
We're coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile online at fmtalk1065.com. Remember, check out the Facebook page, too. Get those pictures in for the Yard of the Week. Somebody's going to win this weekend with Bill Finch.